welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, H.C. Felder, and today the topic is A Christian Perspective of Oprah Winfrey's Spiritual Worldview. And I have a special guest with me, and that special guest is Patty Turnercliffe. And let me tell you a little bit about Patty. She's a graduate of Westmount College with a bachelor's in literature. She has a master's of arts in apologetics from Southern Evangelical Seminary. And she teaches apologetic classes to adults and high school students on cults, world religions, Islam, the occult, ethics, evangelism, evidence for God, and evidences for the Christian faith. She is also a national speaker at apologetic conferences, and that's actually the first time I heard her. I was at a couple of conferences, and she did this very same topic, and I found it very fascinating. The last time I was actually able to listen to it, and after I heard it, I was like, okay, I've got to get on my show. And fortunately, she agreed to come on my show, so we're talking from Charlotte to California with the advent of modern technology that's making this possible. And but also, let me tell you about Patty, and last not least, but she's also married. She has three kids and three grown grandkids. Welcome to the show, Patty.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here, Harold.
And I've been looking forward to this, so I'm excited.
Me too.
So we're talking about Oprah, but I guess a lot of people want to know, why in the world should we be talking about Oprah?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I'll begin to answer that by saying Oprah Winfrey is very possibly one of the most influential media personalities of all time. Her show is watched by more people during the week than any other show of its kind on television. She has the longest-running, most successful talk show history in talk show program in television history, and she is very influential. It's not just that, you know, a lot of people watch her. I believe men and women really genuinely like this woman. She's a very easy woman to like, and so they're very enamored of her, and as she promotes different books and philosophies and products, people buy them and they buy into them. So we should talk about her. She's very influential today.
Matter of fact, I've often heard that, you know, she can make your career. If you have a book or something, and if Oprah talks about it, you become an instant sensation.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
She has that much influence, which is another reason why this is really, really so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because Oprah says, now, she says that she's a Christian. Yeah. I mean, I've heard her say it before. Mm-hmm. So is that true?
Well, I will preface my remarks by saying God alone knows her heart. You know, we are not the ultimate judge of someone's salvation. What I can tell you is that she was raised in a Christian home. Her grandmother, I believe, for all evidences, was a Christian. Oprah learned the Bible, learned Bible stories as a young woman. Her father took her to a good Baptist church. All through junior high and high school, she sat under good biblical teaching, as far as we know. But certainly her doctrine today and her teaching is no longer Christian. I don't know really where she is spiritually. I think she's out kind of wandering in a spiritual wilderness myself.
Right.
She does describe herself as a Christian, but what she means by that term and what historic Christianity would mean by that term are two very different things today.
Well, what does she mean when she says she's a Christian?
Well, her favorite phrase is, I'm a free-thinking Christian. And I believe that Oprah believes that she has that she is no longer shackled by the traditional meanings of Christianity. She is what I would call a New Age pantheist. She believes that man is evolving spiritually, that we all are a spark of the divine. God is in us. We are God-like beings. So she takes this worldview of hers, and she lays it on top of Scripture. She imports it into Scripture. And so she redefines all kinds of biblical terms. She said on one of her shows a number of years ago, talking to Shirley MacLaine about being born again, she said, is that kind of like when you go inside yourself and you tune into your inner self and you become aware of your higher consciousness? And Shirley says, yeah, that's probably pretty much like being born again. So Oprah thinks she's a Christian. She will say she's a Christian. She talks about God and Jesus, and she quotes the Bible, but she has a different perspective and a different worldview by which she redefines the Bible.
Now, what does she think about the Bible? What is her view of the Bible?
Well, she has a lot of good things to say about it, but it's on the shelf with a lot of other holy books. It's on the shelf with the Quran and the other scriptures, so you can learn a lot from the Bible, but the Bible is not the true word of the one true God to man. That's pretty clear.
So then she, I guess she picks pieces out of the Bible? I mean, if she doesn't have a particular scripture or a particular standard that she uses as a guidepost to judge truth by, then what does she use? How does she determine what she believes?
How does she determine truth? Well, she determines truth like a lot of people do today. She says truth is pretty much truth to you. How do you understand truth? Well, that's just your truth. So she has redefined truth. Truth is not absolute. It's not fixed. It's just sort of basically been reduced to your opinion. So she has her own private truth about the Bible, and she would probably say, well, you're free to disagree with her, and you have your own private truth. So to her, the Bible is not uniquely true at all, because she doesn't see truth as objective and absolute standing outside of us. So it's a good book. If it works for you, well, good for you. And if something else works for you, well, that's fine too.
So then she has this pluralistic or just this all-encompassing, eclectic view of religion or
yes,
of who
I would
God
say
is. I mean, who is God to Oprah?
Yeah. Well, there are several different gods out in the street today, if people aren't aware of that. And Oprah has kind of a mishmash of in terms of her view of God. I would describe her primary view of God as being the God of pantheism. That is, pantheism says there's a God-like divine force that flows through all human beings. We are all part of God. We are all one with God. We are all part of the God-like force of the universe. She has said, you know, like, I'm just a cup of water out of the ocean. God is the ocean. I'm a cup of water from the ocean. So that's her primary God. And then she also has a God, I call him the God of Santa theism. We've reinvented God very much in our own image. He has a God that works like Santa. What does Santa do? Santa loves you. Santa just tells you to be good. Just try harder, and don't worry, you'll get what you want. So she has a God that has no other attribute except the God of love. But every now and then, you know, she wants to throw in a dose of the God of the Bible, because she does believe that certain things are clearly wrong, and somebody has to hold you accountable, and so she has to appeal to some understanding of God from time to time, because God is the only one ultimately who can hold us accountable. So it's a kind of an eclectic view of God, a little bit of this and that, very pluralistic, very tolerant, sort of, again, what works for you.
Yeah, it amazes me how people can just take certain parts out of the Bible, the part that they like, you know, the smorgasbord Bible, where, okay, I'll take this part because it sounds good to me, but I'll leave that part. And I don't understand how people can justify what parts to take and what parts to justify other than personal feelings.
Yes, personal opinion, yes.
And so who is Jesus according to Oprah?
Well, her early spiritual teacher was a man named Eric Butterworth. And Eric Butterworth taught, and Oprah, I believe, has embraced this teaching, that that Jesus is not God who took on human form. Jesus was a man who became God. So Oprah has a very high regard for Jesus, because she sees him as the ultimate in what a man can become. A man can become truly God-conscious, God-realized. There's different ways of expressing that. So she believes that Jesus is a wonderful divine example, and we can all become what Jesus is, a fully realized, conscious part of God.
Yeah, so that sounds like the Christ consciousness, the belief that Jesus and Christ are separate, that Jesus is separate from his Godhood, so that we can attain to the same Christhood.
That's
or the same divinity that Jesus did, because there was nothing special about him. We could do what Jesus did.
Right. In fact, she uses the term Christ more as a title, like you'd say Barack Obama is the president. Jesus became the Christ. He earned that title when he realized that he was one with God.
Now, how did you find all this information out about her? I mean, I don't think she had a show where she sat down and said, okay, here's theology according to Oprah.
Right. Well, there are several places. The biggest place to go to is to the transcripts of her own shows. You can go back through the last couple of years, and you can find a number of shows every year that are overtly spiritual, that have just teachings about who is God and who is Jesus and who is man as sort of the themes of their show. And so you can order the transcripts, you can pay for them, you go right to her website, you can download them, and you have it right in front of you. You can look at it and read it. What exactly did she say? What exactly did her guest say? What is she promoting? You can go to her interviews last spring with Eckhart Tolle on Monday nights for a whole series of weeks. Those are still posted on her website. You can see all the videos where she talks about, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm a free-thinking Christian. I'm no longer encumbered by the traditional view of Christianity. So you can do that. There are a number of other books written about her that describe some of her spiritual philosophy. Most of it, you have to just find, it comes in bits and pieces. But when you put it together, it forms a coherent whole, that God is in us. We have a God-like force, and Jesus is just like us, and we're working our way to heaven through many, many lifetimes.
Now, when she calls herself a Christian, what does she mean? To her, what does being a Christian actually mean?
Well, I've never heard her define that directly, except I do believe what she means by that is that she would like to, you know, give Jesus very high honor. She would set herself in what I would call the Christian tradition morally and ethically of doing good deeds and, you know, turning the other cheek and loving your neighbor and helping people and being a good person. That would be the Christian tradition. Again, she gives very high praise to who Jesus is. She has a high regard for the Bible. So I think she uses the term Christian to be more of, I'm just a really good person, and I have a high moral standard, just like Jesus did.
We mentioned earlier about how influential her and her show is. Mm-hmm. So tell us about some of the guests she's had on and some of the things that they teach.
Well, I focus on three of her guests who have been fairly prominent the last few years. One of them is a young woman named Marianne Williamson. Marianne Williamson teaches something called A Course in Miracles. It is a New Age pantheistic philosophy, and she's been on Oprah's show a number of times. Last year on Oprah's XM radio station, Marianne taught a lesson from each day of the week from A Course in Miracles, teaching things like, I am the light of the world, meaning me personally, I'm the light of the world, myself. My salvation comes from me. I'm one with God. So Marianne has been a very prominent guest. Secondly, 2 years ago, she featured a number of times a woman named Rhonda Byrne and featured her book, which became a huge bestseller called The Secret. Actually, this was featured several times by Oprah, and the philosophy was taught on a number of programs. This means that we have a divine-like power within us to alter reality. It's a God-like power. A little catch in my throat. And then certainly last year, her guru of the year was Eckhart Tolle, who teaches a kind of an eclectic blend of Hinduism and New Age philosophy, Buddhism. He teaches that, you know, we're going to take the next step in human evolution, which will be a spiritual step. He refers to us as human beings, and he capitalizes the be, meaning we are being, we are consciousness, as he says it, pure consciousness. We just need to realize at some point that we have a divine nature.
Now, just to give people an idea of how anti-Christian some of this teaching is, let's look at A Course in Miracles. Explain how this book came about and what some of the tenets of this, some of the things that this book is trying to promote.
Well, this book was the product of, it was actually a work of a woman in the 1960s named Helen Suchman, an atheistic Jew who claimed that one day she heard a voice audibly speak to her and say, "This is A Course in Miracles, take notes." And an entity who she later called Jesus the Christ took possession of her through a process called automatic writing and literally dictated this course to her. It is a pantheistic view of reality that Jesus was a man who became God. We are all part of a whole divine universal force, and we can all become God. It's a very powerful, appealing message to people today that we can become just like God. We can become just like Jesus, and it is a program of self-salvation.
I read parts of that, and it's very interesting. all the biblical terms that we use, like salvation,
yes,
and being born again, all of these are completely mm-hmm. turned on their head to mean absolutely nothing.
Right. Atonement is completely redefined. It all gets this New Age pantheistic view. Atonement is just becoming at one with God, at one, they will say. So atonement is not Jesus Christ dying for our sins. It is just learning on our own terms to have to become one with God.
And there's no doubt in my mind that this teaching, along with New Age teaching in general, has a spiritual background. And that spiritual background is demonic. I believe that when Mary Ann heard from this being, I believe she actually did hear from a being. It just was a demonic being.
Yes, yeah. Well, if you really look into any spiritually deceptive message today, it all goes back, and this is one good way that Christians can be more discerning. It really goes right back to the Garden of Eden. Satan has not changed his teaching. He hasn't changed his tactics much since the Garden. He begins by questioning the Word of God. Did God really say this? And then he says, what God told you is a lie. You will not die. That is alive and well today on the streets of our country in a belief, a powerful belief many people have in reincarnation. So he says, you won't die. He promises to open our eyes rather than God. He says, God knows something you don't know. You come to me. I've got the secret. I'll open your eyes. And when I do, you will find out the true secret is you will become God. You will be like God, knowing good from evil. So you'll become your own moral guideline. You can decide for yourself what is right and wrong. Same ancient lies.
And we have to realize that when we do that, we are, in essence, turning our back on God. It reminds me of a passage in Scripture where there was a king who was sick, and he wanted to know if he was going to recover or not. So he sent one of his representatives to a prophet somewhere in some other land. And when he was going along the way, I think it was Isaiah met him, and God sent him to meet him there and said, is it because there is not a God in Israel that you go to seek after counsel after this other person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we're doing. We're saying, well, we don't trust you, God, or, you know, you don't speak mm-hmm. to us enough, or, you know, we want to know now, mm-hmm. and you may not want us to know, but we want to know now, so we're going to go this other route in order to find out, you know, so that's just it.
Yes, that's true, right. We turn our backs on God, and we walk away from him, and we reinvent him. And we reinvent Jesus in an image that is comfortable for us.
Now, how do you respond to people who say, now, Oprah, she's not a theologian,
mm-hmm.
and she's a good person. She's done some really good things. We've heard about her supporting schools in Africa, and she's given a lot of money to a lot of different causes. So mm-hmm. why in the world should we be beating up on Oprah?
Well, I don't think, humanly speaking, we should be beating up on Oprah. She's a good person by all human standards. You want to compare her to other people? I think she comes off as a very good woman. Certainly she has handled her money in a really responsible way, I believe, morally and ethically, compared to a lot of other people that have made similar kind of money. She has invested it well in the lives of young people. She's promoted education, housing for the disadvantaged. I just really respect her in so many ways, humanly speaking. So I don't want to beat up on her personally. She happens to have a home where I live. I've written her, tried to get an interview with her. I'd love to meet the woman. I think she'd be a great friend. And then I tease with my girlfriends. I think I'd like to go shopping for shoes with Oprah someday. You know? But
yeah.
We are called as Christians to be spiritually discerning. And we have got to be able to stand up and say, when someone's message is not a match for the Word of God, we have to have the courage, spiritually speaking, to say something's wrong here. When you wander off the reservation, spiritually speaking, we have to have the courage to address that. And that's what I would say. You don't have to beat up on her, humanly speaking, for the person that she is, but we have to address the teaching.
And that's a very good point. And that's one of the things that I do want to mention, is because since she is so influential, and since there are Christians who listen to her at all stages of their Christian walk, mm-hmm. there may be some Christians who just aren't discerning, who may not see that this is actually New Age, that they may not see that this is actually a cult. You know, mm-hmm. and so we want to be able to point that out. We're not beating up on Oprah, but we're saying, you know, when it comes to this area, you need to be very discerning. You need to be very, very discerning when you start hearing Oprah talk about talk about spiritual things, then you need to be on guard, because she comes from a background that is not Christian. It's not just not Christian. Although she says it's Christian, it is actually anti-Christian, because some of the things that she teaches and believes is just simply not Christian, that there's more than one way to heaven, that Jesus is not the only way, that the Bible is not the word of God, that Jesus didn't die for our sins. These things are not just not compatible with Christianity. They are anti-Christian.
And we have to be discerning enough to know, just because someone talks about Jesus or God, we have to ask which God and which Jesus are they talking about, because it's not always the God of the Bible, and it certainly is not always the Jesus of the Bible.
And that's a very good point, because we hear a lot of belief systems that say that I believe in Jesus, but what we have to do is we have to ask the question that Jesus said. That Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am?
That's right.
And it is then that you find out who we're really talking about, because there could be someone who believes in Jesus, but they believe that he's just a good moral teacher.
Right.
You know, or that he was the spiritual son of or brother of Lucifer. So just because someone believes in Jesus does not mean that they're a Christian and that they believe in the same Jesus that we believe in.
That's right. Absolutely. You've got to go back to what does the Bible say? Yeah.
I remember when I heard you give this talk, you talked about the New Age movement. Well, you talked about the New Age movement. And we mentioned the New Age movement. So what's the difference between the New Age movement and the New Age movement? And how does this all fit in with Oprah's view of spirituality?
Well, for those who may not be familiar with the term New Age movement, that really was a movement that started when I was growing up in the late 60s and early 70s. And we associated with what we call today the hippies. Because a whole generation of young people in the 1960s felt that something was missing spiritually from their lives. And instead of turning to Jesus, they ran off to India to seek spiritual enlightenment. And they came back teaching a lot of pantheistic, Hinduistic beliefs that we were going to usher in a new age of global peace and global harmony. But we would do this through our own efforts, that we would eventually take the next step in human evolution, which they said would be a spiritual step, when we would realize our full potential, that we are God-like beings, and we would usher in this new age of global peace and harmony. Well, the New Age movement, like I said, was kind of associated with hippies, so it had some kind of strange things that you brought with it, UFOs, and a lot of kind of kooky ideas, so some people begin to discount the New Age movement. It simply got repackaged. It is the same set of lies from the garden. You'll be like God. You won't die. And it's been repackaged today. So I call it the New Age movement. Instead of hippies with beads and preaching love and peace and brotherhood in out of Volkswagen vans, you've got really slick seminar people today going out. People pay a lot of money to go to these seminars in which they talk about, you know, self-actualization, realizing your inner potential, self-esteem, your divine inner self-consciousness. It's just a repackaging of the same thing. So I call it, it's the new age movement.
And it's a lot more subtle, and that's the point that you're making, and that's what our enemy does. He mixes a bit of truth with it, and he makes it real subtle to where it's not kooky anymore.
Yes.
To where it's not just those wackos who are believing in it. And because he repackaged it, it is appealing to more and more people. And another reason it's appealing to more and more people is that you have people like Oprah Winfrey who are advocates of this. Mm-hmm. It makes it more appealing to people.
Yes, right. And best-selling authors. I mean, I've had Christian friends come up to me with books like Rhonda Byrne's The Secret and say, what do you think of this book?
Yeah.
It's very appealing that I can have anything that I can visualize, anything that I want. I can put a vibration out in the universe and I will alter reality and get what I want from life. So it is very deceptive. It's a glitzy, very appealing package.
And let's not, let's be clear also that the New Age is simply a form of the occult. I mean, yes. It is occultic in its background. So we need to really, I think maybe if I use that word, maybe people will start to understand the seriousness of what I'm talking about.
Well, the very word occult means something that's hidden, something
right.
that's secret. It's an offer of secret information and secret power where we appropriate a godlike power or a godlike nature to man. And you're right, it is very, very dangerous. It is spiritually, it is incompatible with Scripture. And it's spiritually very deceptive.
We talked and you mentioned a movie clip, and the guests weren't privy to this conversation, but tell them about this movie clip that, and this may sum it up. This may sum up her view.
Well, yeah, because if anyone is listening in, and a lot of Christians will argue with you, oh, she's a Christian.
Yes.
I believe you can still find this on the web under, probably you would Google Watchman Fellowship. They're a Christian organization in the South. They monitor a lot of different broadcasts. Go to their website, Watchman Fellowship, and just do an Oprah search, and you will find a film clip there from a show she did a number of years ago with a New Age author named Betty Eady. And the subject comes up, is Jesus the only way to God? And Betty Eady, who had a near-death experience and met Jesus, she says to Oprah, well, Jesus told me he wasn't the only way to God. There are many paths. And Oprah goes, well, of course there are. You've got millions of people in the world, so there has to be more than one path. You know, there's millions of ways to be good if you're just loving and kind. It's all going to take us to the same place. And during their conversation, a very gutsy woman stands up in the audience and says very loudly to Oprah, what about Jesus? And Oprah says, well, what about Jesus? And this woman says, well, Jesus, you're leaving him out. He is the only way to God. And Oprah says, oh, no, not with all the millions of people in the world and the millions of ways to be good. Jesus couldn't possibly be the only way to God.
And that basically sums it up. Patty, how can people get in contact with you?
If they want to email me, it's my initials, PJT, at Silcom, S-I-L-C-O-M, .com.
I want to thank Patty Turncliffe, for talking with me about a Christian perspective, Oprah Winfrey's spiritual worldview, and that will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time, and until then, goodbye, and God bless.
The preceding show has been sponsored by Giving an Answer with your host, H.C. Felder. So you can hear this broadcast as well as other episodes by visiting us online at givinganswer.org. You can also order a CD or a DVD of the studio recording by calling me at 704-248-7840. And remember, this show will only stay on the air if people continue to help us buy airtime. So I encourage you to consider making a tax-deductible financial donation to this ministry. That phone number again is 704-248-7840. And be sure to join me again next time on Giving an Answer.